I'm excited for tonight. I have been waiting all week. I felt like going to a basketball tournament and not getting to play the whole tournament until the very end. Maybe that's like the championship game. You just get buys all the way through. That's what I felt like this week. I'm like, man, another night. Finally, I'm here. Friday night, those guys, both those guys haven't even been here the whole time, so you don't even know what that's like, huh? It's rough. It's like anxiety all week. Usually if I go to have to preach for a pastor at our church, it's like that night, you know, just going, you have to preach that night. You don't have to live through the whole entire week, so I'm glad to be here. It's been a fantastic week, man. I am so thankful that our family's got to be here, and thank you for flying us out. Everybody's, so grateful, but we're the most grateful. We're so thankful for being here. I love coming back here ever since I've met my wife here, and just seeing this church. This church is like a beacon and just a lighthouse, and not just here in Jasonville in the middle of nowhere, but because of your pastor and because of your faithfulness, it's a beacon all over the world, and especially the United States, and just especially with teenagers and just so much. And so it's been a blessing. Ever since I met Pastor Ross, I just fell in love with him and their family. And unfortunately, I wasn't dating my wife when I met him. I met Pastor Ross first, and then I met my wife. So that's how you do it. You meet the man of God first, and then you meet your wife. That's how you do it. But I am thankful for just this church. Man, I think about Brother Bo on a weekly basis just all the time. When I hear my wife's testimony and I hear about the church's testimony and Brother Bo, and I've heard his name multiple times. Every time I come here, I hear his name. And just that's amazing testimony for Brother Bo, and just the faithfulness that he had in the bus ministry and many other areas in this church. And so I'm thankful for him and the way he reached my family, or my wife's family, and I'm just thankful for my wife and the blessing that she has been to me. Brother Levi said how much Christina is a helpmeet to him, and even more for me is my wife, and she helps me more than I help her, that's for sure. And so I am thankful for her. You have raised some wonderful women in this church, apparently. I tell you what, right? I mean, man, we are blessed. I told my wife, all right, honey, you need to get all the teen girls, apparently, get them in a picture, and we'll just have all of our guys say, hey, we have another church in our area, not too close, but about 7 hours from us, and this is like one of the churches that we agree with 100%, and our youth group is fantastic right now. They're doing really, really good. Brother AJ will tell you about them in a little bit, I'm sure, but They will reprimand each other. They don't need anybody else to reprimand each other. If one of them does wrong, everybody else will get on him. You know, why are you doing this, you wicked sinner? You know, they will get on each other. But it's awesome to see like how they are picking and choosing the people that they like. And it's not by looks. We go to a lot of basketball tournaments and volleyball tournaments, and these teenagers they get to see a lot of different, you know, the opposite gender, and They can choose to like somebody that's maybe not of the like faith that we are, and there's a lot of churches out there that aren't. But they choose to like girls and young men from a church that is of like faith of like us. And I was telling my wife, man, this is the place to find them, though, right here in Jasonville, Indiana. They don't know about it. They haven't come out here, so we have to kind of show them. So I'm just kidding, ladies, I'm just kidding. We're not going to really do that. Parents, I'm kidding. We're not going to do that. It was a good thought, though. We have some really, really good young men, though. It'll be a blessing if we won't steal them, though. We'll send them out here. Since we've already taken your daughter and my wife, we'll send them back, hopefully. Amen. I'm going to get right into it tonight. It's been good. Take your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We'll read one verse, and then we'll have prayer tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Brother Derek preached a wonderful message last night, and he was telling us that, you know, he loves these young men that are preaching these messages on all the contemporaneous and everything going out there, that's what I'm preaching tonight. And he told us to keep preaching it, so I'm going to preach it. I was about to change my message until he got up and said that, so I was like, all right, well, I'll just go for it then. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14, the Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Let's pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and the opportunity to preach at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's not something I take lightly. I thank you so much for just this church and the faithfulness and the ministry that it's been. I pray that you would help me tonight to be used of you, Lord. Help the people here not to hear from me, but to hear from you. Help me to hear from you tonight, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter number 13. We're going to get our main passage of our text tonight from 1 Kings chapter number 13. I want to read 10 verses out of 1 Kings chapter number 13, starting in verse number 1. 1 Kings 13, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand upon the altar, saying, Lay hold on him, and his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel." I want to give you a little history behind this passage. Before we read this chapter in chapter 13, if you go back to, we won't go there, but if you go back to chapter 11 and 12, it talks about Solomon. And Solomon was given, we know Solomon's story, was given all the wisdom, and the Lord blessed him with the wisdom. And Solomon, I don't understand how he had all the wisdom and how he had, it says he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines. I don't understand where the wisdom was there, but he had all the wisdom. He had, they say he's the wisest man that ever lived. I don't understand it, but he was. And the Bible says that those women turned his heart, they turned his heart away from the Lord and away from worshiping God, right? And it talked about how he started worshiping the false gods and Ashtaroth and all these different gods, and the women, they helped him do that. And then we get, and then God punishes him and says in 1 Kings 11, verse 11, that in verse 11 it says here, it says, "Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, For as much as this is done to thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant." God punishes him and tells him, I'm going to take away the kingdom from you. But then it tells him a little bit farther down, if you read, he says, I'm not going to take it all away from you. I'm going to give part of it to your son, but it's not for your sake. It's for David's sake, your father. He said, he was the one that walked after my way. You did not, but I'm going to save part of the kingdom for you. I'm going to save part of Israel for you. And he said, and so we understand that he's going to divide Israel at this point. And then we see in chapter 12 that Rehoboam, his son, becomes king after Solomon dies. Rehoboam becomes king, and Rehoboam decides to seek after wisdom from his peers, from the younger men, it says. And instead of seeking after the wisdom that was already given him by the older men, by the men that he should have sought counsel from, and it ruined everything, which we already saw from the verse we just read, that it was going to happen. This was going to happen, and God was going to divide the nation. But Rehoboam sought after the advice of these young men, and he came before the congregation, and they wanted mercy because they had been through a lot. And and these older men, they advised him, you need to be gentle, you need to be, you know, loving to these people, and you need to not, you know, you can't come across harsh and all that, right? That's kind of the idea that they gave him. And the younger men advised him, you need to be harder than anybody ever before. You need to come on them real hard. In other words, you need to show your power, right? And so he decided to do that because he obviously liked that idea of the power being his. And it wasn't the right choice from him, because the nation ended up being divided and split up. And the Bible tells us about that man that we read in that verse. He was going to give the kingdom to a servant. And that man's name was Jeroboam. Jeroboam rose up and took half of the nation that decided not to follow the son of Solomon, Rehoboam. They split up, and now there is a war in between Israel. This side doesn't like this side, and this side doesn't like this side. There is a war between them and Jeroboam doesn't like Rehoboam. Rehoboam doesn't like Jeroboam. They're like those names. I like how they're so close in the same exact passage. Jeroboam, Rehoboam makes it fun to preach. But they are together, and they're leading the nation of Israel, but it's split up now. And people over that are following Rehoboam, that are following Jeroboam, the bad king now, they hate the other king of Rehoboam because of how harsh he said he was about to be to them, right? Okay, and so the context behind what we already read. Then the Bible tells us in what we just read here in chapter 13, Jeroboam, before this, he started putting up false gods just like Solomon was doing, just like all the junk he was doing, worshiping false gods. He started burning incense, doing all just terrible things with the children that left, all right, the nation of that God had promised, right? They left and they went with Jeroboam. Hopefully you're following me tonight. They went and they followed the false gods now, all right? As wrong as it was that the Rehoboam said what he was saying, right, and that he was going to do them, they left what they knew was right, what they knew was God's way, and they went and followed Jeroboam, who started worshiping the false gods. And Jeroboam was not a man of God. He was leading them in the wrong way. And now we get to the point in chapter 13 where God sends, he calls a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And in this passage, we see God tells this man of God to cross over into the kingdom of now Jeroboam, all right, who is not for Rehoboam and not for the people that followed Rehoboam now, all right? They probably are wanting to kill each other, if you can imagine, right? They don't like each other anymore. And this king, he's not doing right. And now God sends this man of God over to talk to the king, and he tells him to tell him something that could get him killed. I mean, easily. And this man of God just willingly leaves what he's doing, crosses over into enemy territory by himself, walks straight up to the king. What I envision, I see guards, I see men that, you know, back in those days with the swords and with the spears, and they have a new king now. They ain't going to let nobody just walk up and take his life, right, or do anything harmful to him. There's probably men standing helping the king, right? There's not just the king, right? When we read this, we read it so fast. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar. The man of God cried against the altar. So in one verse, we see this man of God come before Jeroboam like that. We don't see the idea that he had to come walk through enemy territory to go and do this, to go and tell the king, hey, this is what God said, and it's not going to be good on you. You're kind of going to probably die, and, you know, all the terrible things he said to him. But this guy did it. He walked through enemy territory. When I think of what he did, I think of when Jesus was preaching and he was on the earth, right? And they wanted to kill him, right? It says he walked right through them. It wasn't his time, right? The power that God had, right, in that time, he just used this man. Here, go and tell the king this, right? And just walks right through there. Man, that would be cool, right? To be used of God like that, just to walk right up and just be like, hey, go. I mean, I think about walking right up to Trump, right? Hey, no, none of the guards can touch you. They're like, right? They can't. I don't know what God does to the people, but they can't do anything. But this man walks right up to the king and says something harsh to him, and the king then tries to grab him. He says, "Grab him!" And he tries to grab him, right? And his hand, it says in verse, what verse is it? Verse 4. They hold on him, and his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up. His hand just dries up. Now you can imagine this man of God, all right, walks up, has to go through everything he already had to go through to get to the king. Now he has a little bit more confidence, right? Like, I once again, imagine what I'm imagining, all right? All these guys freezing up as he's walking to the king, all right? Everybody's just like, I can't get to him. Right? And then he walks up to the king. He's like, man, this should work. Tells him what he's going to tell him. And the guy's hand dries up. He's like, what? This is crazy, right? I mean, if you're not serving the King of Kings, then I don't know what's going on, right? He's getting some confidence already, right? And he sees this happen. And then the king then says, you know, what in the world? Pray your God and have him restore my hand to me again. And you can imagine the man of God again like, see if that'll work. All right. Praise. The guy's hand gets restored to him. Man. I mean, the confidence that builds up, right, with this man of God. The Lord is on his side. We see so many miracles in the Bible, right? But man, to read past this and to not get it is crazy. But man, to see the incredible faith that this man had. I want to just talk about this man of God tonight and see what we can get from him. Dissect this little passage of this man of God's life, and we'll get through it in just a second. The first thing I see in this, to apply it to us as church members, as Blessed Hope Baptist Church, as preachers that are from out of town, the first thing that I think of is we need to be available. This man of God, it said in that first verse, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord. Just like that. Some bribing and hey, maybe if we we'll have some sweet tea down there at the church if you come for the work day, you know, we'll have a barbecue, we'll have all this stuff if you just come, please come, right? It didn't take any of that. He just, the word of the Lord said he needed him, so it was like, bam, he's out, he's up, and he's going to where God wanted him to go. I think about that, man, brother Nathan was saying, you know, the thing that a pastor needs is availability. That's the biggest thing. It's huge. That's so big. I know we have work. We have so many things that are going on in our own lives, but being available for your church, being available for the Lord, all right? You know, it makes a big difference in your church. It makes a big difference in those lives around you, all right? The people that see you constantly being available for tasks and things that need to get done around here maybe, or just done in general with teaching, preaching, singing with kids, right? Being available. Don't always be the person that's, every time somebody comes to you, it's a no. Or it's a, stink, I got something going on, right? Be available. I told my wife before when we got here, I said, we need to make sure that we're available to Pastor Ross the whole time that we're here. Don't make any plans. You know, I mean, we can make plans, but if he says something, then we're going to make sure that we do what Pastor Ross, because he paid for us to be here, and I want to make sure we're available to him. I think we need to be like that as church members, as laymen. We gotta make sure we're available for the things of the Lord. Amen. So being available, I see that's the first thing I see. Next thing I see from this man is We need to continue to be fearless. Continue to be fearless. This man, if anybody was fearless, this man was fearless. To walk by himself to that king was incredible. And I see the fearlessness of this man. We need to be fearless and just to take the word of God where nobody else will. There's too many false gospel out there, false religion out there that are doing that. They're actually not scared. We see it in Sacramento everywhere every day. These Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, doing their thing. They're not scared, apparently. Right. If we're gonna be scared, we ain't gonna get nothing done. Right. We gotta be fearless. We gotta get the message to where it needs to be. Amen. And the next thing I see, he continued. We need to continue to go. We need to continue to go where no one else will go. This man, at any time on this man's journey to go to the king, he could have stopped. My idea in this message tonight is continue. We have to continue. This man could have just went halfway and said, wow, look at all those guards. I don't know, no way. I'm going to go get some other guys maybe to help me out, maybe to as distractions maybe. That's what I would be like. I can be kind of a jokester sometimes, so I can imagine, like, I'm going to go get some guys, come up with a little plan, all right? Have this guy, you know, go out there and get their attention, you know, and then run that way, you know? Have another guy do the same thing, get their attention, run the other way, and then I'll have a good, nice, clean path to the king. That's much better, Lord, all right? I don't know where you were when you were thinking about this, but let me help you out, right? That's what we like to think about sometimes. We want to change the plan a little bit, but this man could have given up at any time on his way, but he chose to continue going. He chose to continue following the path that God told him to go on. And I think for us, we have to continue to go. We have to continue to go and present the gospel to people. We have to continue to go to church. We have to continue to go to the right church. We have to continue to teach our Sunday school class, continue to do the things that nobody else wants to do here. All right? Nobody wants to mow the lawn. Nobody wants to pick up the trash. Continue doing those. They'll pay a lot in heaven. They will, I promise you. Continue to go where no one else will go. Amen. And the next thing I see is continue to say. Continue to say. I like what the one preacher spoke on this week was, when you see something, say something about it, right? We need to continue to say what no one else will say. When he got up to that king, you know how hard that probably was? Thinking about saying what he knew he had to say? He had to speak some harsh words to a king who could take his life, but he said it. He said it anyway. Like I said, the confidence probably was building up. If you go along with my terminology here, how the people were freezing up on the way, it'll help, because that's how I think. On the way, he got there, and finally, once he got there, I was like, ah, this is going to work. God's going to come through. I know it. And so, but he said what needed to be said, and he obeyed the voice that God told him to do. And the next thing I see is he continued, and we need to continue to obey the word of the Lord. It says in that first verse that he came out of Judah by the word of the Lord. What is the word of the Lord? It's just simply the Bible. Amen. It's the Bible. He didn't change one thing that the word of the Lord told him to do. He got to the king, all right? And the king, I just can imagine how scared it was. To imagine getting right there and before the king and saying what he said, but he obeyed. He obeyed what the word of the Lord said to do. And then God blessed him for it, because the guy tried to kill him, immediately tried to kill him, reached out, tried to grab him. I can imagine probably tried to grab him by the throat or something. Right, tried to grab him, and his hand dried up, and this man of God is just, I think about too, just relieved too, just like, whew, whoa, what happened to your hand? What in the world? That was crazy. Because you can imagine the getting to that point of saying it and finishing what he had to say, and then the king, get that guy, and tried to grab him, right, and then his hand does that, and he, because up until that point, obeying the word of the Lord was like, almost like me coming up to preach. He was getting antsy about it, right? He was getting jittery about it. But he said it, and he obeyed, and then the Lord blessed him and saved his life because of it. this is where the message is going to come from mainly tonight. He obeyed the voice of the Lord. And we see right after he obeyed this king, okay, which I can imagine as reading this is a picture of the world. The king then tries and says, hey, wow, you know, your Lord, he kind of acts like he believes his Lord, right? And then he says, why don't you come home with me? Come home with me and you know, we'll eat and we'll drink and, you know, we'll have a good time. And I look at that as the devil trying to snare him into a trap. But this man of God says, no way, if you promise me half of your house, I ain't doing that junk. That's just crazy. I know better, just like all of us do. We know better. When the world presents the wickedness, we know better. We even say no to it a lot of times. Most of the time, we're saying no, especially to the clear deception that like this was. It was, the guy just tried to have him killed. And then he says, why don't you come home with me? I mean, like, if he didn't see it, I mean, he would have been really dumb. But he saw it. He saw it, amen? And he said, I ain't doing that. If you promise me half of your house, I ain't going with you, you know? And then we see, if you go with me now to the end of that chapter, go with me to 1 Kings 13, verse 11. So God protected him. Up until this point, God's blessed him. God has used him. He's gotten the message to where he needed to get the message to. He has obeyed the voice of God. And now he's to the point where God tells him, hey, don't eat, don't drink of anything there, and don't go back the same way you came. In verse number 12, he says, so he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now let's keep reading here. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me an ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. So far so good, amen. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet. I am a prophet also as thou art. An angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drink water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. Not too good. This man of God now gets to a point, says, where he's resting in an oak tree. I don't understand that. That one kind of confused me. If you're in enemy territory, why are you resting? I didn't get that. Why was he sitting down? Why was he having a time of leisure while the Lord says, you know, don't be there very long. Right? That's the world. Don't stay there very long. Get out of there quickly. Don't eat, don't drink, don't take anything that they have for you. Get out of there quickly. But we see the man of God sitting by this oak tree, and now this false prophet, all right, This is where we're going tonight. This false prophet comes and he lies to the man of God. He lies to the man of God and says unto him, he says, hey, come with me. And that didn't work. He said, no, I can't do this. And the Lord, I can't. Then he says, no, an angel told me to tell you to come with me. And what does this man of God do? He follows this false prophet. This false prophet takes him to his house. I am so sick and tired of our churches, of our people following the world. All right? This man didn't follow the world. I'm sick of that. I'm sick and tired of our churches following the false prophets. I'm sick and tired of our churches following the false gospel out there, the false contemporary churches out there. The people in our churches are saying, you know what, this isn't too modern anymore. They need to get up with the times. I am sick of it. I'm getting sick and tired of my friends, the churches that I know that were solid, independent Baptist churches changing. I'm getting tired of the false prophets leading our churches away. Like this, lying, saying, hey, this is okay. This is what the Lord wants. He told me to tell you. The Lord clearly told him what he was supposed to do. Where was the advice that says, hey, go back to the word of the Lord and see if that's what he said? Right. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Yes, we're supposed to get back in the book and find out, is that what God said? Right. No, that's not what God said. Yeah. He said to get out. He said, don't drink. Don't go to anybody's house. Stay away. Yep. He didn't need to be sitting by an oak tree. He didn't need to be resting. On that, you better be careful when you're resting. Preached on the flesh the other night. Your flesh will get weak. You better be careful when you start to get tired, when you start to get wore out from a day of work, when you get wore out from just life. That's when the devil's coming. He knows when you're weak. He knows when you're tired, and he knows how to get you. He knows how to get you individually, and he'll come at you. Be careful when you get tired. But I'm sick and tired of our churches following the world. Following this false God. He had no problem saying no to the world. He knew that was wrong. He knew he wasn't going to go down that path. He said, you can give me half of your house and I ain't going to do that, right? That's how we look at sin sometimes, right? We know when sin is wrong. I ain't never going to drink, right? We say that to sin, But what I'm talking about tonight is I'm sick of the false prophets out there, and us thinking that it's okay to just go down that path. We don't choose the one that he didn't choose, right? The one of the world, but we're okay with getting fooled by the contemporariness in this world. We're okay with getting fooled by the false gospel, the music in this world. They I'm so sick and tired of our churches saying, you know what? I don't want to wear a suit and tie to church. Let's just get a little casual and let's take off our ties, right? I mean, good churches, like that I know really well, saying, you know what? The preacher doesn't need to dress up for Sunday night. Man, what were we talking about the other night? Setting a beer bottle next to the Bible when we're preaching. And I mean, if we're getting a time and place in our world where we need to stand up and we need to continue doing what we've been taught, it's right now. There's not a lot of churches like this church out there. Let me tell you, there's not. And if we don't continue doing what we're doing here and what we read in our first verse this evening, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. If anybody's been given a lot, it's this church. I've been able to learn a lot this week just about the history and everything about this church. Man, we've been given a lot. I've been given a lot. I have an incredible heritage given down to me. I'm so thankful for it. And then I married into a family where they're all pastors. I got pastors all around me. I got uncles that are pastors. Both my grandparents are pastors. Married to my wife, and now her brothers, and Levi is a pastor to the coal mine. And we got... I'm surrounded by pastors, and not just pastors, I mean Christians, and good, solid Christians that are going to Baptist churches that are solid. Man, nowadays you say Christian, or you say going to, you know, church, whatever, even if you say Baptist church, half the time you can't even trust if it's a good church like your church. There's so much change going on in this world. I'm begging you tonight. When I say we have to continue as a church, I'm talking about the people individually. It's not just the pastor taking his stand up here. It has to be you in your home, in your life, in every aspect of your life. You have to make a decision that you just say, I'm not going to change. I'm going to continue doing this because guess what? It's the Word of God. It works. The man of God, he knew it worked. He walked through and he got through the king. Everything was working just fine. Don't you wish the story would have just ended and he got out okay? Man, I was hoping so. But he got fooled by a false prophet. By some of these charismatic churches out there that, you know, say, hey, we need to have like those different time services, right? Where we need to have a service for the young people, service for the old people. Why are we falling for that? Come on. That's garbage. That's not what we've been taught. I'm a young man, and I haven't been preaching long. I don't preach a lot at our church, but I've seen God move in many ways in my church, in many other churches. I've seen him in this church. And I've seen the devil work too. And it's sad. I've seen some families just take a dive and leave, and you've seen them too. It's sad. It's heartbreaking. My dad used to have me and AJ, and he would sit us down as we were younger and as we grew up, and he would talk to us about some people in the church, not to gossip about anybody or anything, but to help us. And he would sit us down, and he said, this man that we love, that we have worked with and we've prayed for, he's made a decision. And he would tell us sometimes he's made a good decision for the Lord. He's decided he's going to give more to missions, or he's decided he's going to do more for the Lord with the church. But then he would tell us this man has made a decision, he's going to stop coming to church. He's going to stop doing this, or he's not going to do this anymore. And he said, boys, I want you to watch. Right. I want you to watch the direction of his life from this point, because this is going to be the deciding factor of which way he goes. And we, 100 every time, 100%, if they made a decision that was leaving church or discontinuing the convictions that they had, or that they said they had before, every time they were off and doing things they shouldn't have been doing. They're off of church. Their kids are a mess. Sad. It's like this man of God, he knew it was right. He had been doing what God wanted him to do the whole time. But then he let some false prophet fool him right at the end. Right at the end. He was almost home. He was almost there. And he let this false prophet fool him. Man, we are in the last days. I believe that. They've been saying it for a long time, I know. But we see more signs. We see a lot of signs nowadays. We know the Lord's coming soon. Are you gonna get fooled in the last, right before the Lord comes back? You're gonna get fooled by these false prophets out there. Take your kids, take your family out of the will of God and get them into some liberal church that's going to preach really nothing to convict them. What we just heard from Brother Derek, like we see in this passage, Solomon made some decisions that were not too good. His son had to deal with those, and it just keeps going down. If you don't live for God, if you don't continue in what you've been taught and what you know and you've been assured of from the Bible, you're going to lose your family. You're going to lose everything that you love. This is real. This is real. I believe it. This man, he got fooled, and it was so sad. I just, every time I think about it, it's just like, man, he was so close, but he got fooled. We need to listen to what God has to say. We need to obey. What words are you not obeying tonight? Is there something even in your own life that you're, like he said the other night, you know, you pick and choose what you want to obey out of the Word of God? This man, he was fooled because he thought it was okay. He chose. He didn't go back to the Word of God and say, hey, is this really what God was saying? Is there like a roundabout way that the Lord was trying to say that another guy could change it, change his word, right? No. He wasn't going to change anything. He held to his word. And that's one thing we can understand is God's not going to change his word. Amen? When God says something, he means it. And the whole plan that God gave him, that was his protection plan for him to get out alive. That was his protection plan. Can I tell you tonight, guys? This is God's protection plan for us. And if you don't follow it, you're going to lose everything. You might, if you're thinking, I'm not going to die if I just don't obey it just a little bit. Yeah, but your kids might. You might lose some loved ones because of a decision that you decide to say, yeah, it's not too bad. Be careful, amen? Be careful getting around the people that are always like this. Well, what's wrong with it? They start asking something, they start doing something or something, and even in our churches, and they say, well, what's wrong with it? You know the only reason they're asking that? Is because they've already done some research, and they have tried to dissect everything about the one thing that they're trying to get away with to see if they can find any fault in it. They've already tried to figure out, oh, well, there's probably something wrong with, you know, what we're doing here. Be careful. Stay away from them. Please, stay away from them. They're teenagers. Stay away from them. And when they keep coming at you, oh, what's wrong with it? You better just stay away. Because those are the kids, those are the people that just are going to slowly drift away. All right? Please stay away from them. I was going to give you some points on how to continue. I'll skip through them real quick. First one was we need to have a vision. For our young people, for our families, for our church, we need to follow his vision for our church. Amen? You ain't going to be able to continue unless you have a vision and continue doing what God wants you to do. Next thing, we need to fear the Lord. This man, he feared the Lord up until a certain point and figured somehow it escaped his mind. We need to fear the Lord, healthy fear of the Lord. Amen? You got to fear the Lord. Understand, he means it when he says stuff. When he says you better abstain from the appearance of evil, you better do that. Amen? And the last one to how to continue is you need to walk with God. This man was walking with God the whole way, and then got off course because he was a false prophet. Somebody fooled him. Some false leader fooled him. Please, don't get fooled by some liberal contemporary church out there. And like I said, it starts with the people. Even if this church goes liberal, and let's pray it doesn't, amen? Amen. Yeah. It's going to start with the people. It doesn't just start with the pastor coming up and you say, well, we're going to change everything. No, it starts with the people making the comments, making the things that make the pastor want to change. Amen. That's what's happening in many churches. They feel like they have to, you know, go with the times. Don't do that. Don't do that to your pastor. Don't do that to the congregation here. Amen? Amen. Last thing. 1 Kings 13, 23 through 26. Same passage, just verse number 23. The end of this passage doesn't get too well. Verse 23, it says, and it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord. which he spake unto him. Whew. This man disobeyed one time through this whole process. One time. And God dealt with it. If that doesn't give you some healthy fear of the Lord, I don't know what will. You better obey the voice of the Lord. Amen? When something is preached from behind this pulpit and you know it's true from the Word of God, you better take heed. You better obey. It's not just for your sake, it's for your family. Amen? Take heed. Don't be deceived by the world. Don't be deceived. That's the first area. Don't be deceived by the world, but don't be deceived by this junk. We have so many churches falling by the wayside. Please don't let it happen in your family. Don't let it happen in this church. Amen? Don't get to that point where the Lord gives you to the lion, the devil. Amen? Amen. Let's pray tonight. Dear and follower, thank you so much for the thought. I pray that you would just be with us. Continue to be with the preachers coming, Lord. I pray that you would help us as we just look at our own lives. Help us to make a decision tonight, Lord, to continue. Man, 45 years, what a blessing. I pray that you'd help us to continue with our families, to continue serving you, to continue doing the things that you'd want us to do, to continue to go where you want us to go, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name.